Time for Wine Country Live to take an up-close look at what's going on with the big roundabout project in Napa. We've been following this one pretty closely for a lot of different reasons, and we're happy to have Eric Wan from the Napa Public Works Department back with us today for an update. Eric, thanks for coming in.
Good morning.
I asked you off the air if you were happy about the progress on this project.
I'm very happy.
Why?
A lot of reasons. First of all, we're well ahead of schedule. I'm very surprised at how far we are in terms of progress for the project. We're 6 months into this, starting in July, through the end of the year now. And I would say we're, with this change that's coming this week, we'll be about 80% done with the project.
Imagine that.
Which is amazing. And that was originally to be in 18 months. 18 months was the original anticipated schedule.
Just to reset that, 18 months now turning into maybe 7 to 9 months.
And again, I say that just to, I don't want to overpromise because of the concern is weather still.
Sure,
and we're really starting to just now get into our rainy season.
Mm-hmm. Now, the natural question for listeners might be, well, if a project can get done in half the time that you anticipated, why don't all the projects get done in half the time anticipated?
A lot of different factors. I think a lot of it depends on the complexity of the project. A lot of it depends on the contractor. There's a number of reasons why projects take the length of time that they do. We were very fortunate with this project. We have a very good contractor, OC Jones. We have a great partner working with Caltrans. It's been a great team that we've had to be able to manage this project up to construction. And then even as we've been going through construction, we've had an amazing team. When you design a project, there's a lot of thought that goes into it, and you have to think about not only how you build it, in terms of just grades and types of facilities and where your storm drains go, those types of things, but you also need to think about how you actually construct the project. You have to give the contractor the ability to think about what you were thinking as the designer and how you're actually going to build this project. They may have different ways of doing it. We don't know their means and methods. We don't know what kind of crews they have or equipment or how they want to put that all together to be able to build the project. And so at least you give them something to ponder when they bid on the project. And that's what we presented was an 18-month schedule with various phases. The contractor, in this case, OC Jones, as we got into the project, approached us about, hey, we think there's some ways to create some efficiencies. Combining phases, there was probably about 13 total phases with this project. We think there's an opportunity to combine those, and there's some other things that we can do if you, city, and you, Caltrans, are willing to work with us and to maybe look at some other alternatives in terms of phasing. And so we did that and spent a month or so evaluating the alternatives. And so we were able to actually come up with some combined phases and some efficiencies that actually have gotten us to where we are right now. The other factor is we're very fortunate to have a relatively dry fall.
Yeah.
And that's been a big plus.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So let's get to the heart of it in terms of the what happens next part and the public education so people are aware what to expect. And I know that the when to expect it is still tentative again because of weather. But this next phase involves the changing of the directions of First and Second Street. So that kind of goes to a whole new level of concern for the traveling public.
Change of direction, and also we're opening up another roundabout.
Right.
So the second of the three roundabouts will be open. The schedule right now, and again, weather dependent, right now is planned for, we're starting some work today. The city crews, we're actually doing some work on Jefferson between First and Second with striping removal. That's needed in order to accommodate the couplet flip in terms of turn pockets, and you can't have people turning into the wrong direction, so we need to make some changes. But tomorrow is really when things start in earnest. The OC Jones and their subcontractor will be starting to do some striping removal, pavement markings, so the arrows, those types of things, sign changes tomorrow. The plan was to actually do the couplet flip on Thursday, but because of the weather, it's difficult to, you can't put down new striping when the pavement's wet. So we wanted to allow a day for the pavement to dry. So that's why we're looking at Friday now to actually implement the couplet flip. And so Wednesday, you're going to see a lot of work happening. Traffic will still be allowed to flow both on 1st and 2nd Street, maybe reduced to one lane, but traffic will still be allowed to flow in both directions. And then Thursday, things will be idle. There may be still some other activity going on. And then Friday is when everything happens. And it's going to be a fairly complex, orchestrated event to phase everything to get this thing to happen, because there's a lot of moving parts and pieces with signing, striping, and then we're actually implementing signal changes on 1st and 2nd Street at Jefferson to accommodate the direction change.
That's a bunch of pieces.
That's a lot of pieces. You know?
If you're in your car just heading downtown, do you think, well, that little stretch between California and Jefferson, zip along there, you think nothing of it. But every one of those intersections, every traffic signal, every directional sign has to be looked at.
Correct. And we need to change the one-way direction signs at every cross street. There's arrows that will be placed on the pavement. Those have to be removed and then reapplied in the appropriate direction. And then also just the roundabout work. Now, most of that work has been done at the new roundabout that will open at 1st in California. The striping's actually down, but they haven't opened that yet. Mm-hmm. But that will open on Friday. The other big change, as I mentioned, is the signal work. So we're changing some of the heads to accommodate the change in direction. We had to redo some of the wiring to accommodate new wiring. And so there's been a lot of work that folks have seen going on. I know it, you know, it makes a lot of sense to us, but the public probably doesn't really care just as long as the signal works.
Right. You get those moments of what are they doing? Why aren't they doing this? Why are they not doing what I think should be done next as the drive-by engineers? Right. And yet there's a lot of moving parts.
A lot of moving parts, and a lot of that's kind of done in the background. And again, it's all necessary to make this happen, mm-hmm. so that we can provide for the new direction change and do it safely. And to make sure that, you know, the public's got full signage and they understand exactly where they're supposed to go.
Yeah. So we have roundabout number one has been functional for some time.
Correct.
This is roundabout two.
Correct.
That will open on Friday, right?
It'll open on Friday, mm-hmm. yes.
And then there's still the third piece to be to
the
be
third piece, built. Correct. Is the third roundabout is at 2nd in California. It's partially constructed. Maybe about a quarter or a third of it has been constructed already. The contractor will be over the next month, so January, they'll be constructing the rest of that roundabout, so maybe another half, so it'll be about three quarters complete. The plan is there's actually some water or utility work that's going on right now on California between 2nd and 3rd. We had to move some water connections and some other utilities. That work's taking place right now. When that's done, the contractor will finish the last of the curb and gutter and sidewalk. They'll finish the road construction, and we're hoping, if everything goes as planned based on weather, we can open up that segment of California between 2nd and 3rd by the end of January. Once that's done, then the contractor will build the last third or quarter of the roundabout at 2nd in California, and that'll be done hopefully first part of February, middle of February.
Mm-hmm. So some obvious questions come up based on the public's perception of roundabouts in general, this project more specifically. And I had a lot of fun with this. In fact, to be honest, talking on the show about a sort of sense of panic and, this is never going to work. And we always have a certain amount of that. Suggestions people made included the idea that there would be a lot of accidents because people don't know how to drive in a roundabout. I'm sure you've been aware of any accidents occurring during the construction. What's the actual situation with that?
There have been a couple of accidents, but nowhere near, they're basically fender benders, small, no bodily injury or anything like that, which was the case previously with the old configuration, where you're having to come off the freeway and you want to head towards Browns Valley. it's a little sketchy trying to figure out whether cars are coming over the overcrossing. It just never really knew whether it was really, you had an opening or not. Mm-hmm. And there was actually a fair amount of accidents that were happening at that location. That was, again, one of the reasons why Caltrans really wanted to participate in this, was to solve that safety issue. Mm-hmm. And again, I think I've said this before previously when I was on, it doesn't completely eliminate accidents, but it reduces the severity. And yes, we've had a couple. And that's just talking about the fire department and police department. That's what they've indicated, that they were relatively minor accidents. Yeah. Overall, though, I think the number of accidents have gone down, and I've heard a lot of positive response from the public. People have kind of bumped into, and they say, hey, those roundabouts are actually working pretty well. So that's a good sign.
I saw a comment the other day, and I pay attention to Facebook and Nextdoor and other places where people express themselves. And one comment I've seen more than once was that they're taking roundabouts out all over the country because they built them and then discovered they don't work. True or false?
I have not heard that.
That's what I thought.
I can't say true or false, but I have not heard that. I've actually heard that more jurisdictions are actually installing roundabouts, at least in the engineering community, the conferences I've gone to, publications I've read. More and more communities are actually turning to roundabouts as a very successful alternative to dealing with safety, but also dealing with just capacity and traffic management. And I've mentioned this before when I was on the show, is you can only put so much traffic through an intersection that's controlled by a signal. And you actually get more throughput or more cars per hour that you can push through a roundabout than at a traffic signal, mm-hmm. without making some significant changes like adding lanes or additional turn pockets or something to get allow for those additional vehicles that are wanting to make whatever movement it is through the intersection.
Yeah.
So they're very successful. And again, that's why jurisdictions are turning to them. It's safety and it's just capacity.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think it took so long for California in particular to catch on to this? We usually lead the country in a lot of things, technology and new ways of thinking, and roundabouts have been in use in England and in Europe for a long, long time. Why did we wait to this point to start doing this?
I think that's been the case across the country. Yes, other jurisdictions, Midwest or back east, have used them previously, but they really didn't catch on, and it seems like until the last 10 or 15 years. Mm-hmm. And I think, yes, they've been in existence for a very long time overseas, but I think it's you know, we know engineering, we know that this works, and so therefore we're going to follow these standards. Traffic signal is the way to go. But I think as our population has grown across the country, not only in this state, there's been a desire to find other ways to manage traffic, plus to improve safety. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think you've seen it started out as, you know, some communities actually adopting this and using this technique of roundabouts. Others have looked and watched, and wow, that they've actually been very successful. So it's grown, but I think it's starting to really accelerate now, and you're starting to see it more and more. And then Caltrans, which is really what we follow in terms of engineering design standards, the state of California, they actually adopted this working with FHWA about the time when we were proposing our project. So 8-10 years ago is when Caltrans really started to embrace roundabouts and suddenly realized, hey, this is really a viable alternative to just the traditional signalized intersection.
Yeah. One of the challenges, of course, with the roundabout, especially if it's not a new construction situation, like we saw over at the Gasser project, that was a new construction, so they were able to factor it in, allow room for it. But if you look at other intersections, the one most people might think about is the Five Points on the east side of Napa, which has been a traffic challenge forever. And people have talked about a roundabout there. But as you well know, one of the main challenges is the real estate question. It takes more space, sort of vertically and horizontally, if you think of it that way, to build that versus a traditional intersection, right? And that's an inhibiting factor on putting them in places that are already having a problem?
Yes and no. Again, it depends on the location. And yes, a roundabout seems big and the circle seems big. But again, if you want to stay with a signalized intersection, you may actually need to do widening that's very comparable to what you would need to do for a roundabout. Mm-hmm. And again, you may be able to actually put in a smaller footprint with a roundabout than you would with a signalized intersection. And again, it's kind of a balancing act. You have to do studies. You have to look at projections in terms of future, existing versus future volumes of traffic. And then weigh what really is the best option for that particular location. Still, we're always going to have signalized intersections, I think. Yeah. And it's just, where is it appropriate to actually install a roundabout?
Mm-hmm. I get the feeling that a lot of people are watching this project pretty closely because it's not just a roundabout, but it's the three interconnected, I like to call it the trifecta, roundabout trifecta. And so that's a little more advanced, a little more engineering required. And, it's sort of, in my mind, I might, if I were in that field, be saying, if this can work, then it might work here, here, and here. That conversation is going on, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. This is the only location that I am aware of in California where they have three consecutive roundabouts.
Wow.
Other jurisdictions have installed multiple roundabouts, but not necessarily in sequence, where you're literally not even a full block before you enter the next roundabout. Mm-hmm. Caltrans, there's some locations where up at Tahoe to head to the lake, there's two roundabouts, but they're separated by Interstate 80. There's other locations like that. So this is a very unique situation. So yes, there are a lot of people watching this, mm-hmm. It'll be interesting, and I have called it the crazy straw before because the way you'll be able to drive through it, but I think it's going to be very successful. Mm-hmm. This is a viable option, a viable alternative to solve a really challenging problem at that particular location that we have. And I think everybody understands, having driven through those intersections before, it's been a little bit challenging, either coming off the freeway or first in California or even a second in California. That was always a little sketchy, trying to figure out what cars were going to do at those intersections.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Having driven for quite a while from Browns Valley eastbound to downtown, every morning I came over the overcrossing and made that loop around and turned left on 2nd to go downtown, right? Not just morning, but morning, noon, evening, whatever it might be. And the number of times you had someone who clearly was a tourist who didn't understand they were turning onto a one-way and would either cut you off when you were in the near lane or would change lanes oddly, as they got onto 2nd Street. I can't count the number of near miss accidents I saw at that spot just because of that unfamiliarity. This for the tourist is a significant advantage, I would say, with the couplet flip. And of course, that's the reason for it, that as you come off the highway, you'll follow the roundabout and you don't have to find another street to get you downtown. You're staying on First Street.
Correct. Yes. So, if you're traveling northbound on State Route 29, you want to go to downtown Napa, it says First Street, downtown Napa. You leave the freeway, and before you left the freeway, then you got to the intersection of First and California, as you said, you have to make the right, then you had to make the left to go to Second Street to actually go to downtown. Mm-hmm. When a funny story, just when I first started working here, my wife came over to visit me and have lunch with me, and she called me and said, I can't figure out where your office is because I'm on some street. I have no idea where your downtown is. So hopefully that is going to eliminate this. So when you actually leave the freeway to go to First Street, you'll actually be able to drive on First Street into downtown. Mm. So it's a direct route into downtown.
And again, still one way, but the other direction.
Correct. So back to the flip, the directional change. Yes, there'll still be one-way streets between California and Jefferson. So First and Second will be one way. It's just the direction will change. So First Street will actually be heading in east or into downtown. Second Street will be heading west or leaving downtown, heading towards State Route 29.
Mm-hmm. So if we look at best case scenario, total completion, another 2 months, 3 months, as
probably,
much as 3 months?
Probably, I would say 2 to 3 months. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Does that include landscaping and
right,
everything?
Right. So landscaping is actually going to be starting here very quickly. There's landscaping work still. There's some other concrete work, not road work, but outside of the road work that needs to be done. The other part is that there's a finish, what they call a top coat. It's the final lift of paving that needs to be done. I know some people have indicated, gee, there's this big bump when you leave the freeway, or that's because mm-hmm. we haven't paved the final lift.
Right.
So really the contractor wants to wait till all the work's done and then they'll pave. That they're hoping, sometime February, early March. And then the striping, final pavement markings, signage, all that will go in, and then basically the project will be done.
Mm-hmm. And again, weather dependent. If we start to, yeah, if we settle into the big Pineapple Express for a couple of weeks, it sets everything back. So this one having turned out to be such an easy project, Eric, what's next?
Oh, gee. I'm not sure I'd say easy. what's next? I think right now, you know, we've got a few other projects that we're working on within the city, not of this order of magnitude, but in terms of larger projects, the five-way intersection, that's State Route 121 or Silverado Trail, Coombsville, East Avenue, 3rd Street. That is a project that is still on our to-do list. That is going to be another partnership with Caltrans. There is some money that Caltrans is willing to bring to the table for that project. It's just we need to figure out the rest of the financing. But we do have a concept. We've met with the community about that project. We think we've got an option or an alternative. Actually, it's a double roundabout that the community seemed comfortable with. Council seemed comfortable with that alternative. And Caltrans also seems very comfortable with that alternative as well. The other big project that's happening, it's not necessarily a City of Napa project, it's more of a Napa County, but it's a Caltrans and Napa Valley Transportation Authority project, is the Soskal Junction. So State Route 221 or Soskal Avenue, Soskal Ferry Road, and State Route 29, and I think everybody's aware of that signal and the backup that I think everybody experiences every morning and night. It's one that has been on the to-do list for the county for a very, very long time. That project is actually moving forward. Right now, they're finishing up the environmental work. Once that is completed and the environmental document is sufficient, then they'll actually start with design. And the plan is hopefully in the next couple months, that's going to start mm-hmm. The actual design work. And so it'll be about a 2 to 3 year design process before they think about starting construction. Mm-hmm. And just that project, it's going to involve two roundabouts.
You know, some years ago when the Soskal Junction area was looked at, there was a plan for multiple flyovers, large elevated structures, possibly one down at Jamison Canyon at the airport, another one up there at the Grape Crusher area. Compare for us real quickly, kind of cost-wise, an elevated structure like that, cost and time, versus finding these solutions that are more on the surface, more at grade?
So the big challenge with building large structures, it takes time. There's scaffolding, there's, you know, just to be able to build that kind of a structure, it's a very complicated, very time-consuming, very costly process. We thought that the original two roundabouts was a very cost-effective approach. I still think it is, but it just, as you get into these projects, you start to discover, you know, different things, and so therefore you start, you know, adding more and more dollars to it. And so this project, the original estimate to where it is now, it has gone up, mm-hmm. but I still think it's much cheaper than what was originally proposed with the giant flyover.
Yeah.
The other advantage with this project is that I think it has, from an aesthetic standpoint, I think it's a much better project. I think, you know, with as you enter into, as you're heading up the valley and starting to come into Napa, it's one of those things where you don't see this giant, you know, big city freeway flyover.
Let's remember they tore down the Embarcadero in San Francisco.
Exactly. So this, I think, just from a context standpoint, this is going to be a much better project because we're actually 29 will be free flow. So there will be no stopping on 29, but it will be an elevated structure, but nowhere near the height of what was originally proposed. Mm-hmm. The roundabouts are actually going to be depressed down, so there'll be grading where you actually lower the roadway down. Yeah. So trying to create more of a visual, less impact from a visual standpoint.
For sure. Excellent. And to recap in 30 seconds, what's going to happen later this week?
So later this week, we're looking at a directional change on 1st and 2nd between Jefferson and California. Friday is the date that we're looking at where drivers will see most of the activity, and that's where they'll actually see the directional change and then the opening of the second of three roundabouts at 1st and California.
Okay. For those who are skittish, you know, continue staying away for a while longer. That'll be fine. Use your alternate routes. For those who are adventurous, you'll have something new to experience.
Exactly.
All right. Eric Juan, City of Napa Public Works. You are the deputy director?
Yes.
Matt, very good. Thank you for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
And a quick break here before we continue with today's Wine Country Live after this.